أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Today in this lecture we will study the second tanbih of istisab, that is presumption of continuity. In the second tanbih, that the second precaution of the concept of presumption of continuity, it means failiyatul yaqeen, that's the certainty has to be actively present when doing istisab, when practicing the presumption of continuity. The first tanbih, the first precaution was about the failiyatul shak, that's the active presence of doubt, and the second tanbih, that's the tanbih duum, is about the failiyatul yaqeen, that is the active position, active presence of certainty. Imam Khomeini has objected on the Sahibul Kifaya, the author of Kifayatul Usul, that the first tanbih also deals with the shak, and the second tanbih also deals with the shak, so there is tahafut between the two. So what is the difference between the first tanbih and what's the difference between the second? When you are doing the topic of istisab, the shak is always there as the rukun, as the pillar of istisab, the pillar of the presumption of continuity. So when it is present in both the cases, so what's difference between the two? So it is the aspect with which we look at istishab, that is in the first tanbih we are looking the failiyat of shak, the active presence of shak, and in the second tanbih we are looking the active presence of yaqeen, that failiyatul yaqeen, that is the active presence of certainty. So when explaining this failiyatul yaqeen, the author of Kifaya raises the question that this tanbih, that this precaution, this failiyatul yaqeen is made valid, but how? When the yaqeen, it is meant qata, and the qata means that this is the, there is 100% surety about that. There are certain rulings in religion in which we have 100% surety, but there are certain rulings in which 100% surety is not there, and we have Emarat, and these are giving the benefit of Zan, that is less than 100% surety, but more than 50%. So in those cases, when we are getting the Zan and when we are using the Emarat, like some Usuliyin, the Usul scholars believe that istishab is an amara, a sign from which the rules can be made, which can be applied as a principle for derivation of rulings. But its status is as an amara, so how the failiyatul yaqeen, the active presence of certainty, can be applied to this amara? Or some Usul scholars believe that istishab is an असल अमली, सो हाउ दिस कैफेलियतुल यकीन कैन बी अप्लाई टू दी असल अमली। एंड थर्ड, देन इन सम केसेस वी हैव टू यूज द कायदतुल यद और द बैना फॉर द डेरिवेशन ऑफ रूलिंग्स। सो हाउ द फेलियतुल यकीन एंड इस्तिसहाब कैन बी अप्लाइड टू दीज केसेस एंड व्हाट विल बी द बेसिस ऑफ डेरिवेशन ऑफ रूलिंग इन दीज केसेस। रिगार्डिंग द कता, द रूल इज क्लियर दैट द ओनली थिंग वी हैव टू डिफ्रेंशिएट दैट दिस यकीन हैज टू बी यकीन ए फेली, that it has to be present now and it should not be something that's present in future or in past. So that is what Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Jalali says, that there are certain examples which elaborate what is meant by yakeen-e-faili. So the first example he gives is like the example of inheriting a house. The inheritance of the house, when it is inherited by a person, so the only thing which is fairly is the immediate inheritance, and he is holding that house from his parents or somebody else gifted to him. So if the house is bought by him and he pays his own money, the presence of the house with him is the level of yakeen-e-faili. But if the house is inherited from parents or is gifted from somebody else, so what is the process that it's coming from? So that yakeen is not yakeen-e-faili. Similarly, like the example of a car, that if somebody buys a car from his own money, then this certainty about the ownership of this car is yakeen-e-faili, is the active certainty, is the actively present certainty. But if this car is gifted to him by somebody or he inherited this car, then this yakeen is not fairly, but it is something else. So yakeen fairly has to be present, what is present now, at the present time. It should be actively present at the present time. So that is yakeen fairly, and that's usually in contrast to the yakeen takdiri. That's yakeen-e-taqdiri means which is not actively present. So there are two types of yakeen, and in this tanbih it says that the yakeen, the certainty has to be yakeen-e-faili. While in case of amarat we say that we don't have yakeen, but we do have amara as a sign. We have zan about that. So these amarat, in these cases, that is the yakeen-e-faili is at the level of yakeen-e-mo'tabar. So the yakeen-e-mo'tabar means that there is certain shari argument that establishes it in the presence of the zane katai, that this is not the zane katai, because that hujjiyat is zati, while in case of zan, the hujjiyat is shari, the authoritativeness is shari, that it is made. Some authors have tried to explain it by way of the ja'alal hukmul mamasil, that it is the formation of a similar ruling. Or some says that this is the hukm-e-zahari that's being made, that's coming out from the hukm-e-waqi. So that's the hukm-e-zahari. Some scholars believe in this, but how come the hukm-e-zahari can be made in cases of istishab when the hukm-e-waqi is not known in cases of amarat, in cases of like qaidatul yad, or in other cases in which the hukm-e-waqi is not known? So the author of Kifaya, the Sheikh Akhund, tried to explain it by a way that he said that this is not the yakin that it is important as a rukn of istisab here, that as a pillar of istisab here, but this is the sabutul yakin. That's the sabut, the proof that is the one which is needed for the deriving the ruling of baka fi shak, that the presence of baka, the concept of persistence in case of doubt on the previous certainty, that's derived from the proof for that certainty, and even that proof doesn't need to be the ihraz of it, that it should not be, it must not be comprehensively be present, but just the absolute presence of proof is needed, that when a proof is present, and this is the sabut lil waqia, that it is related to the actual reality, then it has got the ability for the persistence, for the baka in case of shak. And this next argument he gives, that how this is established, he say that there is a mulazma, there is a requirement for one over the others, that the mulazma bain as-sabut wal baka al-hukm al-zahiri, that between the apparent ruling or between the baka, there is the mulazma which is present. The scholars who don't use the words of hukm zahiri, like the Sheikh Akhund, they say that in case of amarat, there is just munajjaziyat and muzariyat, that when a ruling is executed, when a ruling is acted upon, so there is munajjaziyat for it, that the duty is executed, the duty is done, the duty is performed, and that is the sufficient for the person to be observed. And otherwise, if some duty is not done or cannot be done, so there the muzariyat in that of that he has got a excuse for that matter. So the Sheikh Akhund says that this is not the hukm-e-zahri which is needed in these cases, but in cases of amarat, just the munajjaziyat and the muzariyat is needed. And this munajjaziyat and muzariyat about the sabutul hukum, about the sabut of the yakin of sabiq, that is sufficient, for the istishab to be applied here. So these are the two bases that he explains, that how this problem, that's jaryanul istishab fil ahkam zahiri, can be solved in cases of amarat. Because jaryanul istishab in cases of qat is very valid and apparent, and there is no objection to that. But when we look at the dalail that which are raised for the establishment of istishab, for the adillatul istishab, so Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Jalali says that there are three main arguments about the adillatul istishab. The first argument is dalil-e-aqli, and that is the argument of reason. And this dalil-e-aqli is again based on the dalil-e-shari, and which is riwayat. And the most important of these riwayat is the first riwayat, that is the Muzmara-e-Zurara, which says that la tanqudu yaqeen bishak abadan, ke don't break your certainty by a doubt forever, ever. So this, there is the use of the word yaqeen here. So in the narration, the word, this sabut, this proof is never used. So there is a question, that is the sabut and yaqeen equivalent words, or they are two different concepts? So yaqeen, certainty, is 100% surety, and this has got nothing to do with the word proof, which is a totally different things. So the use of the word sabut in place of yaqeen by Sheikh Akhund is not correct usage by Sheikh Akhund. And this is the yaqeen that establishes istishab, and that is the rukn, or the pillar of istishab, or the presumption of continuity. The second point raised by Sheikh Akhund is the mulazima between the sabutul yaqeen, between the sabut sabiq and the baqa of the shak. That the baqa of the yaqeen in case of shak. So that mulazima, so how this mulazima can be established? There is no mention of the word mulazima, or no logical derivation of the word mulazima from the Muzmira of Zurara, which is the main hadith among the adilla of the istishab. And the third dalil is the ijma. While the ijma is of two types, one is ijma le muhassal, which is la hasil, that all people in the world cannot be consulted and cannot be commented upon, so that the imam masoom is included in them. And the second type of ijma, that ijma manqul, is ghair naqil, that this is also cannot be mentioned, because people usually only, when they consult some of the sources, they call these sources as ijma. So just consultation of some of the resources of knowledge is not a real ijma, or not the ijma-e manqul. So the only dalil left with us is the akhbar riwayat, and the most important one of them is the Muzmara-e-Zurara. And in the Muzmara-e-Zurara and in the other riwayat, the word mulazima is not used. So the use of word mulazima by Sheikh Akhund is a mughalta by him, that he is mixing up the things, that he is not clearly using the concept of mulazama between the two things in which no real mulazama exists. So how come that Jarayanul Istishhab can be proved in the cases of these amarat? So there are two ways that have been suggested to prove this Jarayanul Istishhab in cases of amarat. First is by Imam Khomeini, who says that there is the use of the word yakin not in the sense of the logical meanings of the word, in which it says that etiqadul jazim, that etiqadul jazim for something that's defined logically for the definition of yakin is the logical definition. While, for example, fa'innaka ala yakin min dinik, that's the word, use of the word yakin over here, according to Khomeini, it is in the meanings of the usage of the word in Quran and Sunnah, and it is in the meaning of hujjat. So fa'innaka ala hujjat min dinik, he means that this sentence means over here the meanings of hujjat. While when we look from the dictionary that in riwayat it is accepted that the use of yakin is not as the word of logic, but this is not also equivalent to the use of hujjat. The word hujjat, as per dictionary usage, is in different meanings as compared to the word yakin. Although there may exist some of the Quran when proven that by context it might be proven that it may be close in meanings to the word hujjat, but what are the Quran in the Muzmara Zurara is not clarified over here. The other explanation given by Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Jalali is that he says that yakin here is used in two meanings. That first is the yakin in the meaning of qata, that's clear, in which the Hujjiyatul Istishhab is clear, and the second, it is used in the meanings of zan, that is zan-e mu'tabar, that is refers to the cases of amarat, that when istishhab is taken as the amarat, or it is as defined by some usuliyun, that it is the aslu tanzili munajjizun, this is an aslu tanzili that is munajjiz over here, that is sufficient for the execution of duty, taken as sufficient for the execution of responsibility or duty on the person. And this explanation, although it holds there, but this again needs to be established, that how the word yakin is used as equivalent to zan, or in the meaning of zan over here, and how it is established. So it needs to be established first, because by yakin is meant the 100% certainty. So the only way left here is to find a way out that how by yakin the zan-e mu'tabar can be included in that, to have a place over here and to solve the application of rule to the amarat over here, that istishhab can be applied to the cases of Amarat. When we go to Lisanul Arab, we find that yakin is used in the meanings of zan at times, and also zan is used in the meanings of yakin at times. So this use of dictionary, this evidence from dictionary, gives us a way to solve the problems, and we need not have to go a long way to prove that this cases of amarat, this hujjatul istisab in cases of amarat has a valid basis. So the yakin, the word yakin, which is used in the muzmana of zarara, may have two applications. That is, one application is that of the zane katai, that is the zane vajdani, and that is again divided into two kinds of kata or two kinds of zan, and one is that ala nahve tariqiya or kashfiya, that is a way to reaching a decision, a way to making a rule, a way to making the authoritativeness. So that is taken as a way of tariqiya. And the other is when it is applied as a way of sababiya, that is a cause for the ruling or a mawzu for the ruling. So here in case of istishab, this is the mawzu for the istishab is not sabut, but this is the yakin, which is the mawzu for the istishab. Similarly, the mulazma needs a mawzu, and that mawzu we don't have, and so mulazma cannot be established over here by these arguments. The tariqiya and the sababiya are two concepts when we are exercising this certainty, this kata, this jalul hukum, and these rulings, and this application of istishab as an amara. So ala nahwe tariqiya means that this is a way of making them, that this is hujjat, but ala nahwe tariqiya. And for example, one example which is given, that in cases of a dead person, that if somebody says that this person is dead, so this statement can be taken in two ways. First is ala nahwe tariqiya, that on the way of a tariq, it means that apparently this person appears dead. So this is the apparent ruling over here. This is not the real ruling about the persons, but as the state of the persons appears at this time, it is ruled as dead. So once a judge ruled, a qazi ruled that this person is dead, and when persons, they took him to the graveyard, the person who was ruled as dead, he stood up and came out of his unconsciousness. And the people took him again to the qazi, and the qazi said that once I have ruled, that is the hukmullah, that is by way of sababiyat, and now the person is ruled as dead and you have to bury him. So that is the difference between the ruling on the way of Kashfiyat and the way of Miratiyat and by way of Sababiyat. So we don't say that the rulings which are based on Amarat are the Hukmullah, the real rulings, but we say that these are the apparent rulings. So some of the scholars believe that the rulings which are made by the Qazi, which are made by the Mujtahid, these are equal to the Hukmullah, the real rulings of Allah, that is the way of Sababiyat. So we do not believe in Sababiyat, but we believe in Kashfiyat, we believe in Tariqiyat. That Tariqiyat means that this person has got the apparent ruling of being dead. So Istishab, the ruling of Istishab is again the apparent ruling upon the way of Tariqiyat and not on the way of Sababiyat. And Failiyatul Yaqeen has to be present for the Istishab to be applied, and this is the message of this second Tanbih, this second precaution of Istishab. So Failiyatul Yaqeen means Yaqeen have to be actively present, otherwise Istishab cannot be applied in these cases. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.